The headlines again. Asylum seekers have started moving to the government's accommodation barge, the Bibby Stockholm. A Home Office spokeswoman says 15 people have arrived on the first day and a group of about 20 had refused to board. The Ministry of Justice has apparently admitted by accident that staffing in the prison and probation services in England and Wales is approaching dangerously low levels. Three hill walkers have been found dead after failing to return from a trip into Glencoe in the Highlands. New inquests have been ordered into the deaths of five men who were murdered by loyalist paramilitaries in Northern Ireland more than 30 years ago. England have made it to the quarterfinals of the Women's Football World Cup after beating Nigeria on penalties. BBC News.
Read by Alan Smith. We are in Northampton for our comedy next this evening on Radio 4. I'm Sorry, I Haven't a Clue is in just a moment after a look ahead to Friday.
On BBC Radio 4,
the new series of Screenshot.
Whether it's in the cinema screen or whether it's on television, whether it's on our phones.
Space to kind of re-experience the emotions that great screen storytelling conjures up.
One of the things you'll hear is what it tells us about the British character if you look at movies about Brits abroad. Plus, we've got a programme about the way in which stand-up comedy has been represented or perhaps misrepresented on screen.
The new series of Radio 4's Screenshot.
With me, Mark Kermode.
And me, Eleni Jones.
Starts on Friday evening at 7.15.
And listen to all previous episodes now on BBC Sounds.
And in this week's opening edition, we'll be celebrating the power of pop music on screen, 50 years on from the release of George Lucas's American Graffiti. You can hear that on Friday evening at 7.15. Now on Radio 4, time to join Jack D and the panellists.
We present I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue, the antidote to panel games. At the piano is Colin Sell, and your chairman is Jack D.
Hello and welcome to I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue. We come to you from historic Northampton. Human activity has been recorded in Northamptonshire all the way back to the Paleolithic era, with hand axes and rudimentary blades recovered in the area dating back 800,000 years. Visitors keen to see exactly how prehistoric man might have made use of these blades and axes should visit King's Heath after dark. Northampton's reputation for shoemaking is believed to have started after a visit to the town by King John in 1213. However, it wasn't until the 19th century that the town became generally recognised as the UK's preeminent centre of shoemaking, when in 1831, Northampton's shoe production doubled almost overnight. Some put this down to the start of the Napoleonic Wars, others to a canny shoe salesman who had the bright idea to start selling them in pairs. John Clare, the 18th century peasant poet, was born in Helpston and is widely regarded as one of England's greatest working class poets. During his lifetime, Clare found himself pulled between literary London and his illiterate Northamptonshire neighbours. And since we're coming from Northampton, I should clarify that when I say illiterate, it means you can't read or write. Northampton's most famous son is celebrated scientist Francis Crick, who co-discovered DNA in 1953. His groundbreaking work on DNA led both to the Nobel Prize for Medicine and 13 years of the Jeremy Kyle Show. Dr. Martin's boots are made in Northamptonshire. Now, Dr. Martens are, of course, a perennial favourite with angry, racist, right-wing thugs, or as they prefer to be called, the Metropolitan Police. Northamptonshire is home to the Silverstone Racing Circuit, which I'm told is attempting to allay the elitist image of motor racing by running special programmes to introduce Northamptonshire's disaffected youth to the sport. The programme's generally considered a success. However, the most common complaint of the youngsters is how, after driving at speeds in excess of 200 miles an hour for several hours, when they do eventually climb out of the car, they're still in Northamptonshire. Actor Matt Smith was born in the town and played football for Northampton FC's youth team before a serious back injury forced him to give up football and take up acting. The club medic at the time was unsure as to exactly how Smith's injury was sustained, although lifting trophies was swiftly ruled out. Smith, of course, went on to a stellar acting career and has universally agreed to be everyone's all-time fifth favourite Doctor Who. This region has had a long connection with witchcraft. Claims of sorcery reached its peak in 1612 with the Northamptonshire witch trials, when several locals were summarily tried and hanged for the simple offence of riding a pig. And to this day, the area has still not received a visit from David Cameron. Let's meet the teams. On my right, please welcome Rachel Parrott and Milton Jones. And on my left, Fred McCauley and Sandy Toksvig. And taking our place at the desk next to me to enjoy an evening of scoring, please welcome the ever delightful Samantha. Okay. Well, we'll begin this week with a round called Add a Word, Ruin a Quote. Conjuring a quotable sentence can mean the difference between immortality and failure. With this in mind, teams, I'd like you please to add a single word to a well-known quote in a manner likely to completely ruin it. So, Fred, you can start, please.
The best things in life are free, Willie.
Rachel.
Bond. James DeFeffel Bond.
Milton.
Mama always said, life is a box of chocolates. You never know. Oh, caramel.
Sandy.
I think, therefore, I am female.
I think, therefore, I am thinking.
You've got to be in shit to win shit.
It ain't over till the cat lady sings.
A chain is only as strong as its weakest link. Goodbye.
Dr. Martin Luther King, I have a dream catcher.
Beggars can't be umbrellas. That was an embarrassing incident outside Tesco.
Mahatma Gandhi, learn as if you will live forever. Live like you will die in an overpriced care facility with your kids hating you because you've spent their entire inheritance.
Reports of my death have been greatly exaggerated. Lol.
A friend in need is a friend in Kettering.
Nature abhors a cordless vacuum.
I've got one with the Scottish accent, so
all right.
Oh, good. Mm.
I feel like you're going to judge me.
I will.
Yeah. They may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom passes.
Was that Scott? Oh, sorry.
Well, can I... You know, in all fairness, it is every bit as good as Mel Gibson's.
Well, the next round is called Word for Word, and it's all about words. Language is a fluid thing, and many once popular words and phrases fall from general usage over time. And the same is true of dialect words. For example, in Northampton in the 1920s, a cul-de-sac was known as a pudding bag. In the 1950s, a packed lunch was known as bait. And in the 1980s, a shoemaker was known as unemployed. In this round, each team takes it in turn to exchange a series of words, while the opposing team should challenge if they detect a connection between any of these words. OK, I'd like you to start exchanging completely unconnected words, Rachel and Milton. Sandy and Fred, your job is to try to spot a connection. If I uphold the challenge, I'll ask you to take over, and so on. So off you go, please, Rachel and Milton.
Biscuit.
Organism.
Sandy, straight in there with a connection.
I mean, it's perfectly possible to have a biscuit with an organism. I think that's a reasonable snack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your hearing okay? I'm not going to uphold that on this occasion. So it's back to you, Rachel and Milton.
Toggle.
Anglesey.
Fred has come in there with Toggle and Anglesey.
Can we confer?
Yes, you can, yes.
Good, thanks.
Is that one you want to know?
If you're in Anglesey, the weather can turn on you. You would wear a duffel coat in order to be warm, and you might have a toggle on your duffel coat. I mean, I think that's a perfectly reasonable.
That's quite an abstraction, but yes, I'm gonna let you have that. I think it's only fair.
Thank you.
Well done.
No, the crowd don't like it.
You should have gone with organism and biscuit. I'm just saying.
I split the room, but I know I'm standing by that. So I'm proud of my choice, and I'm over to you, Fred and Sandy.
Selection.
Fungus.
Milton, selection fungus.
That was a band I was in.
Yes, is that right? When
I was lead vocals.
How come we've never heard of them? All right, well, I'll take your word for it. So, yes, it's back to Rachel and Milton then.
Oh.
Crush.
Egg.
Sandy, straight in, crushed egg.
I mean, surely crushed eggs, it's a thing, right?
Yeah.
They would be if you crushed them.
Yeah. Yeah.
Fair enough, I'll let you have that.
I think it's an omelette, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just an omelette. Yeah, straightforward.
Yeah. The trivia coming from your table is incredible. It's almost as if you do it for a living, Sandy. Okay. So it's back to Fred and Sandy.
Leggings.
Bridge.
Bequeath.
Tuber.
Mixology.
Milton, tuber mixology.
That was another band I was in.
Yeah, what sort of music were they into?
Easy listening.
Well, once again, I have to take your word for it because I can't disprove it. But so over to you, Rachel and Milton.
Grateful.
Mesopotamia.
Natter.
Moron.
Natter moron.
I mean, clearly.
What?
You want to confer?
I think it was a band that Milton was in.
Yes, one of them, yeah. We think it was a band that Milton was in.
Yeah. Were you in a band called Natter Moron?
Yes.
You had a chance to get out of that, Milton, but you blew it, frankly. So it is. It's back to Fred and Sandy.
Kerfuffle.
Responsibility.
Metrosexual.
Rubber.
Land.
Rachel, did you come in with?
Was there responsibility and rubber?
Yes,
because
there was.
Wearing a rubber is a responsibility.
Yeah.
It's true. An important one.
I mean, it's something I know nothing about, but I imagine.
Okay. Well, yeah, you're technically, I suppose, you are correct in that way. So it's back to you, Rachel and Milton.
Crumbs.
Australia.
Sandy, back in with Crumbs, Australia.
I had a very unfortunate experience in Australia with a biscuit and an organism.
Well, for perseverance alone, I'm going to let you have that. That's fair enough. So over to Fred and... Oh. And the gong tells us that I've just pressed the button to make the gong go. OK, well, the next round is inspired by the popular singing show The Masked Singer, famous for its celebrities dressed as singing animals. And who doesn't enjoy a singing animal? I always say, if you've never witnessed a badger singing Bohemian Rhapsody or a pigeon belting out My Way, then you've never been to Chris Packham's house and tasted one of his special mushroom omelettes. OK, well, in the radio version of The Masked Singer, a mystery member of the panel will perform a song of my choosing. However, just as the TV version ensures we can't see the mystery contestant properly by covering their face with a mask, in this made-for-radio version of the hit format, the audience and other contestants won't be able to properly hear the mystery singer. So I'll ask our technical team to turn off the lights so that the other players and the audience can't see who it is. So off they go, please. Thank you. So let the fun commence. Are you ready, Sandy?
Oh, yeah, I'm ready.
Fred?
Ready.
Good. Rachel, ready?
I'm ready, Jack, yeah.
Yeah, good. Milton? Well, I'll take that as a yes. Right. Mystery gag singer. You will find in front of you on the desk the words to that classic song, I Can See Clearly Now. What?
I don't think that he can see the words because the lights are out.
Who said that?
That was Rachel.
Yeah, might have known. Well, if the gag singer can't see the words, they can just make them up. It won't make any difference. Here we go, then. The mystery gag singer, accompanied by Colin Sell. Off you go.
Jack, I can't see the piano.
Does that make any difference? Right, off you go, then. Sandy, you've come in. You think you've guessed who it is?
Is it Michael Bublé?
Not Michael Bublé. Anyone else want to have a guess?
I'm no, completely
I'm
not sure. Baffled.
Yeah, I'll ask the audience. Any suggestions? No. I'm afraid no. It's not Sophie Ellis-Bextor. Milton, who do you think it is?
I don't think that he can speak properly with the gag in his mouth.
Well, that's given the game away, hasn't it, Rachel? Spoiling everyone's fun as usual. Right, put the lights back on. Game over.
No, we'll never know.
Well, this next round has a medical theme. Incidentally, I've read that the Home Secretary, Suella Braverman, recently teamed up with the Secretary of Health with a proposal to put GP receptionists in charge of the UK's border control. Yeah. That way, no one's getting in. So, in this round, the teams will assume the role of doctors and patients suffering from an imaginary medical condition. And you can be our first patients, Milton and Rachel. The identity of your mystery medical condition is now being displayed to the audience via the laser display screen. For listeners at home, here's the mystery voice.
Rachel and Milton think they're sticks. Rachel and Milton think they're sticks.
So it's time for your appointment, Milton and Rachel. You must outline your symptoms to Drs. Sandy and Fred, and they'll be awarded points based on how accurately they're able to diagnose your condition. So off you go.
Hello, Doctor.
Hello, come
Hello.
In, come in.
Yep. Thank you.
Where am I? Sorry, I just feel a bit thrown.
me too. To be honest, I'm completely broken, and I have a great fear of dogs.
Me too. And to be honest, I have a fear of Ian Drury as well.
Well,
It's such a shame because with the right environment, I could really blossom.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Sometimes I like to help an elderly man walk to the shops and then feed him a Chinese takeaway.
Go on.
Yeah. Does it help us to tell you that we're quite stressed out at work as being part of a really large staff?
So a big company, some kind of big company, a firm.
But Milton's the branch manager.
To do with trees?
Trees.
Something to do with trees?
Woodlands.
Oh. Oh, from the audience.
Wow.
Thought you'd have twigged it by now.
Walking sticks. Walking says. Sticks.
Rocket,
Zimmers.
Any.
You have security, please. We just...
Well, trust us to do a recording the night that the head of Radio 4's in.
I mean, we've got that. It's to do with sticks and twigs and branches.
They do. They think they're sticks.
Sticks.
Yeah. We are stuck. They're sticks.
I'm so sorry. I thought it was going to be cleverer than that. I'm so sorry. Sorry, I feel really bad now.
Well, it is your turn now to be patient, Sandy and Fred. And you've just been summoned into the surgery of Doctors Rachel and Milton. The identity of your mystery medical condition will now be displayed to the audience via the laser display board, while here again is the mystery voice for listeners at home.
Sandy and Fred think they're West Midlands trains. Sandy and Fred think they're West Midlands trains.
So, off you go, please. Outline your symptoms, Fred and Sandy.
Sorry I'm late.
Sorry, I'm late too.
It's all right. Just come and sit down. What's the problem?
Well, I'm going to start again. Actually, we're not really sorry.
Because we're going to be late next time as well.
I mean, are you all right, Fred?
I'm all right. I mean, I feel kind of unfit. I know I should run more often than I do. You, Sandy?
Well, I just find I keep saying the wrong thing. I'm always getting cancelled. And do you know, I've not had a great relationship history. There's a lot of dodgy couplings.
Yeah. Me too. You know what I'm like. I'm a bit of a cheap date. Mm. As long as it's a Sunday and you book 4 months in advance.
There's immense sense of guilt and shame, and I mean, I wonder if the only way out is to go public.
Well, we think we get the idea.
Yeah. What, of the round? Start.
Just fall into place. Is it trains generally? Trains. Is it a local rail service?
Yeah. This is going to take ages, isn't it?
Midlands Rail?
I think we can let you have that, West Midlands Trains. Yes. Well, now for a round that's all about television. These days, Channel 4 are constantly looking to push the boundaries of taste and decency with the desire of increasing their audience share. Indeed, only last week they announced a show where Harry Kane, Erling Haaland and Gabriel Jesus will undergo live colonoscopies. They're calling it Inside Number 9. The people whose job it is to come up with ideas for radio and TV shows can be remarkably lazy with their programme titles. So I'll ask the teams to share examples of programmes where the content has been contrived to suit what someone thought would make a clever title. Fred, you can start.
Food TV with handy hints for your hog roast at your summer barbecue. Tonight, in Prep a Pig.
Sandy.
Tonight at 8 on BBC One, a rare insight into the private life of Boris Johnson as he attempts to ring the second of his three spouses in Call the Midwife.
Milton.
And now on BBC Two, it's time for the story of an ancient woman found in the Antarctic in David Attenborough's Frozen Janet.
Rachel.
A documentary now about the craziest side of the Edinburgh Festival, presented by a Strictly favourite. That's Claudia Winkleman's Mad Fringe.
Coming up on BBC Two, follow the lies of a group of salesmen who sell Venetian, Austrian and roller window fittings while not feeling well in Peaky Blinders.
Something very different now on BBC Four, a documentary about a Scottish man who sometimes thinks he's a loaf of bread. That's at 9 o'clock. Pan-orama.
And now on BBC Two, Charlie Dimmock and the team attempt to transform an outdoor space by burying a former Romanian dictator under the lawn in Garden Ceaușescu.
TV, watch a Norwegian clown triumph in this long-running reality show in Britain's Got Less Talent Than We'd Hoped.
And now on Dave, some South American military regimes try to find bargains in abandoned garages in Storage Hunters.
Heartwarming drama tonight on BBC Two as a newly married man ponders his wife's request to spend their honeymoon sitting at the graveside of former Prime Minister Sir Edward Heath, a location she's taken the pair of them to on several previous occasions. That's Bride Said Revisit Ted. Tonight on BBC Two.
Later on ITV, a taboo-busting investigation by Janet Street Porter and Linda Robson into the link between childbirth and bowel incontinence. That's Loose Women at 9 o'clock.
Well, it's very nearly the end of the show. There is just time to celebrate Northampton's history with a quick round of Shoemaker's Songbook. Now, Samantha tells us she spent yesterday with a gentleman cobbler friend trying on some very stylish high-heeled court shoes he'd made for her. She says she was delighted with the pumps he gave her, but says she did experience a little difficulty walking afterwards. Anyway, teams, in this round, I'd like you please to suggest titles of songs likely to prove popular with shoemakers and purchasers. You can start this one, please. Milton.
You picked a fine time to leave me loose heel.
Rachel.
Who let the clogs out? Who? Who? Who?
Fred.
Something by James Last.
And Sandy.
Just one stiletto.
Hello, is it a three you're looking for?
The Messiah by George Frederick Sandel.
Clog on the time is all mine, all mine.
Doctor, doctor, can't you see I'm Martin, Martin?
Sexual healing.
Take the last train to Clogsville.
Wella, wella, wet Wellington.
Blisters are doing it for themselves.
Yes!
Welcome to the house of fungal infections.
50 ways to leave your loafers.
I shod the sheriff.
Nikes in white satin.
Rock around the crock, have you heard that?
Goodbye, they'll be ready Tuesday.
And so, ladies and gentlemen, as the torpid terrapin of time in the pet shop of punctuality is overlooked in favour of the golden hamster of hope, which itself is now just a bulge in the previously placid pet python of posterity, I notice it's the end of the show. So from the team, Samantha, myself and our audience here in Northampton, it's goodbye. Goodbye.
Fred McCauley, Rachel Paris, Milton Jones and Sandy Toksvig, who have been given silly things to do by Jack D, with Colin Sell setting some of them to music. The programme consultants were Fraser Steele and Stephen Dick, and the producer was John Naismith.
And Jack D and the team will be back at the same time next week. I'm Sorry I Haven't a Clue is a BBC Studios production. Next this evening on Radio 4, the guilt sets in for Ed and someone oversteps the mark at Grey Gables. The Archers is after the news.
The Women's World Cup on BBC Sounds.
Here she comes.
That's a good ball and it's in.
Follow the action with five live commentary.
And now comes down the right-hand side, shoots with the right foot, fires it into the roof of the net.
Stay on top of the tournament with Football Daily.
What an absolutely amazing match.
They look like they belong on this stage.
And discover untold stories in Jill Scott's Coffee Club.
When you win, you have to party too.
I think you did say something like, the English can drink.
Yeah.
Listen on BBC Sounds.
BBC News at 7 o'clock. The first migrants to be housed on a barge docked in Dorset have arrived at the facility. The operation to move the men onto the accommodation in Portland has been given the go-ahead despite opposition from human rights groups and local people. Cheryl Avery from the Home Office gave this update.
We successfully onboarded the first cohort today, and there are 15 people on board. We have had a few challenges, but this is part of an ongoing structured process to bring a cohort of up to 500 people on board. There have been some challenges, some minor legal challenges, and I can't go into the detail of those, but we are, all accommodation is offered to all individuals on a no-choice basis.
The Doctors' Union, the BMA, has said consultants could strike again in September unless the government engages in talks. Senior doctors have already staged a two-day walkout in their dispute about pay and recruitment, and more strikes are planned for this month. Greater Manchester Police has apologised to Andrew Malkinson, who served 17 years in prison for a rape he didn't commit. In their ruling, the appeal court judges who quashed his conviction criticised the